All right, thank you. And you can turn now to the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to finish chapter 4 tonight. We did about half of it last week. We're going to do the rest of it tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you. Last week we did verses 1 through 8, so I want to give you a little bit of a review for that, just to refresh your memory. Had a lot of things happening that week, haven't we? It's been action-packed. Well, we talked about that we are living in the time of the Antichrist. I mean, we definitely are. I mean, if you can't see that nowadays, I think you're just blind to the fact. But we're in the time of the Antichrist. Demonic influence on humanity is rampant. It's rampant. And by the way, that's part of this conference that we're going to be doing after the first of the year. There's going to be some information about how and why that's happening. And so make sure you're part of that. Much of religious belief in God today is in error. Yeah, it's in error. Because the teaching of God's Word has been abandoned largely. And it's been replaced by religious regulations and religious codes. Things that humanity has come up with, right? But no, we need to follow God's Word. The Apostle Paul tells us to preach and teach God's Word, the Scripture, the Bible, and reject false teaching. Well, how are you going to know false teaching? Because you've been in the Word studying the Word. You've been hearing the truth and reading the truth. I heard recently somebody say, well, you know, you should read the Bible. Read it. Pick out a passage, read it. And if you don't understand it, here's what you should do. Read it again and keep reading it until the Holy Spirit gives you enlightenment. Don't give up. Keep reading the Word. It's God's Word. It's for your benefit. So, we should reject false teaching and instead work to achieve godliness. Where does that begin? Well, of course, it begins with accepting Jesus as your Savior. But it continues by being in His Word and following the Holy Spirit. How is the Holy Spirit going to speak to you? Through God's Word, right? You tell people, the Spirit spoke to me this morning. How did He do that? Did you hear Him? Yeah, I was reading God's Word. It came through loud and clear. That's what they need. That's what we need. Be in His Word.
That's the good voice.
That's right. That's the good voice. So, there's going to be some talk in this, the rest of this chapter, about exercise. Exercise. And the best exercise you can get is the exercise of studying God's Word and praying God's Word and fellowshipping with believers over God's Word and witnessing to people, talking to people about Jesus, God's Word. And then exercise all of that by walking in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit, Dan? You keep the Word of God in your heart and your mind, and you think about Him all through the day. You know He's tugging on you all the time, right? You know that, don't you? Just a little reminder here and there. And you know, I've got to tell you this. I told the folks over at Windsor Woods Tuesday morning, you know, Christmas is over now, but we're going to miss that love and that camaraderie we have at Christmas time. How can you keep that going? How can you keep it going? Here's what I suggested to them. Pick a Christmas song. Pick a Christmas carol. Choose one you like, your favorite, and keep that first verse in your heart and your mind. And when you're going through your day, just be singing that in your mind or out loud if you can. You know, just keep that going, right? keep that Christmas love feeling going, okay? So I told him that Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I'm going to the Bible breakfast. I got a lot of things on my mind, right? Well, I told him the song that I'm going to choose, that I chose, was Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, okay? So I got all this stuff on my mind. I'm going to church. It's after Christmas, but what comes on the radio? Go tell it on the mountain. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. You reminded me to sing the song. So you see, it's those kind of things you do that help you to walk in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. Keep God on your mind and your heart, right?
Absolutely.
It's not too hard. You'll get into the habit of it if you start doing it. So I recommend you do it, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer before we go on into this rest of this chapter. Father, we're so thankful that you gave us your word, that we would have it ever with us, Lord. Help us to remember it, Lord. Help us to memorize as much of it as we can, Lord. Help us to commit to making that effort to do it, so that if ever we should not have the scripture, the Bible, your word with us, that we'll have it at least in our mind and heart. Be with us now, Lord, as we study your word. We look to you for guidance. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for the love that's in there so that we can share it with each other and with the people out there that are lost. They're looking, Lord. They're seeking peace and love. Help us to help them find it by speaking your name, your love, your gospel to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now, we're actually going to pick up at verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9. But I put verse 8 in the notes for just to make it easy to go back and look at it, okay? Because we may need to go back and look at it a time or two, because this end of this chapter deals a lot with what's in that verse. And actually, I've divided verse 8 into two parts, 8a and 8b. And so 8b is this, godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable for everything in your life that now is and for your future life. How long is that life going to last? Forever. See? So it's a promise that goes out through eternity. So this part of verse 8 has been included for that reason. Now let's look at verse 9. Very short verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Well, verse 9, what it says there is a well-known common saying of that time. People would say that if they wanted to emphasize something and get you to try to remember it a little bit better, right? This is a common thing that they would say, and it emphasizes the importance, and it's like a summary statement. They say, it's like saying, pay attention, I'm going to give you the end of this. So the summary statement is found in verse 8b. That's the summary statement of the first part. That's what we need to really remember. Godliness is profitable for all things. And it doesn't say it. It implies in your life. All things in your life. Godliness is profitable for those things. Because it has promise. Promise of the life that now is, that you're living right now today, and of that which is to come, your future life. So it's a very important thing to remember, don't you think? Wouldn't you agree with that? So, godliness is profitable. Now, that is the important summary statement which Paul wants Timothy and all of us, and everybody who ever read this and whoever will read it, he wants us to remember that. That is the important summary statement. Godliness is profitable for all things in your life. right now. Nothing's too small, nothing's too large, nothing's too difficult. It'll help everything. Godliness is profitable for your life and your future life and your future eternal life. You get it? Have I said it enough times? Godliness. Godliness. Godliness brings promise. That's what this verse says. It says, having promise. Godliness has a promise. It is being like Jesus Christ. The promise is being like Jesus Christ. Godliness, the likeness of Christ in our daily lives right now. You don't have to wait for it. Now is the time to have it. Now is the time you need it. Godliness. By walking, how do we get it? By walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's how we get the godliness. You don't get godliness because you got saved. You knew that, didn't you?
Sanctification.
Yes, it's a process. Sanctification. And you're growing, growing, growing as you call on the Lord and give your ways over to Him. So it's walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's what sanctification is. Walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Curtis?
It has strengthened our faith. Our faith too. The Bible says, Jesus said that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So it has strengthened us. He will liken us unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock.
That's right. Scripture says you can't do this without faith. You can't do it without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have to exercise that faith. You walk in the Holy Spirit and you display the fruit of the Holy Spirit as you walk. You display the fruit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, along with self-control. What do? As you practice those things, they bring the promise of godliness. Aren't those the things Jesus would do? Aren't those the things Jesus did, in fact?
The mind of God.
Absolutely. So when you practice those things, you're becoming more and more like Jesus. You are getting His Christ-likeness. Did you know that was the goal? That's the goal for every believer, to be like Christ, Christ-likeness. The promise of Jesus in our life now and effortless Christ-likeness in eternity. Because when you get to glory, you won't have to work so hard at it, will you? You'll be in glory. You'll be like Him. The word promise, used in this context, really means realization. The realization, both now and in the future, of your identity in Christ. You're in Christ. Are you identifying that way? You know, nowadays you can identify as anything you want to be. They don't care out there. Oh, you want to be that? Fine, don't bother me. And off they go. You have an identity, and it's Jesus Christ. And you can realize it now and in the future by walking in the Spirit, imitating the fruit of the Spirit. Your identity in Christ. When God makes a promise, that promise will what? Become reality. That's exactly right. This verse has a promise. And God keeps His promises. Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of being like Christ. Isn't that what we all want? Now, indulge me for a minute. Don't throw anything at me. Try reading the verse 8b using this insight. It sounds something like this. Imitating Christ is profitable for all things in your life now. Having the realization of Christ in you now and of our perfect Christ-likeness, which will come in eternity. That's what this is really getting at. You can be like Christ now and all throughout eternity. But you have to make a commitment. You have to walk in the Spirit. You have to exhibit the fruit. Probably most of us don't even know all the fruit. That's why I wrote it down. You think I'm going to trust this thing in front of a crowd of people? I don't think so. The promise is Christ-likeness. God is promising you, if you'll do these things, you will be like Christ. You'll exhibit His characteristics. You'll show His love. You'll have His joy. You'll exhibit His patience. You'll be like Christ. But you have to make the commitment. In the book of Colossians, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, called this the mystery revealed. The mystery revealed. Colossians 1, 26 and 27, this is what it says. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. Those are believers. That's you. It's revealed to you. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You ready for the mystery? Here it comes. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Kept secret for so many ages, held on to by the Hebrews, the Jews that didn't want the Gentiles to have it. But God said, no, they're going to get it. I'm going to give it to all of them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what does the book of Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 tell us? Well, it's written there for you. And it says, now faith is the substance, the realization. Substance is reality. You have it, the material thing, right? And when you look in your Greek and Hebrew dictionaries, you'll see that substance is also referred to as realization. Realization of things hoped for. Well, what is our hope now? Now that we know, it's to be like Christ. The evidence. What's our evidence? God's divine assurance. His divine assurance. He gave us the promise, didn't He? That's God's divine assurance. I promise you, you will be like Christ. We will be like God's Son. That gets me excited. I mean, I was all fired up when I was putting this together today. Man, that's great news. Great news. And the greatest news is you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you die. Start now. Start now walking in the Spirit. Showing the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, verse 10. Now, verse 10, I split up into two parts as well. It's going to make it a little easier to deal with. So, 10a says this, For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. That's part A. We suffer because we trust in God. Yes?
In fact, actually, you put that last verse together with that, and you see why I prayed there. And don't that remind you of live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution?
That's right. Part B says this. God, the living God, that's who it's referring to when it says who. That who there is the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. We're going to look at verse 10 in two parts, as indicated by verse 10 above, part A. Paul is saying, this is why we work and suffer. Not for salvation. We don't work and suffer for salvation. Jesus did that job. He took care of that. We don't have to do that. Not for salvation. Christ has done that work. But we work and suffer for Christ-likeness. We're working to be like Christ. We're working that plan of sanctification. We're trying to become more like Christ. But what gets in the way? This. Our flesh. Our flesh got a mind of its own. We long for that Christ-likeness, both now and forever. Our desire is motivated by the Holy Spirit to be like Christ, and that's why we labor and suffer. We're being encouraged by God to become like God, Jesus. We're willing to suffer.
It keeps mentioning the Holy Spirit. The big thing here is understanding when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and acting on it and giving the glory back to God.
Okay. How will you know that?
By your belief in reading the Word.
Reading the Word. There you go. See, we already said that. So you got to come back to God's Word. We have to stay in God's Word. Isn't that something? He is so good to us. But we work and suffer to become like that. That is the promise, to be like Christ. But it just doesn't happen. God just doesn't zap us and there we are. He could have done that. How genuine would our faith and love have been? Maybe not too strong. Faith in Christ's work is the motivator. It urges us on. It's our motivator. Part 10b says, the living God is the Savior of all humanity. Now people they struggle with that because that sounds like He's going to save everybody. Is He going to save everybody? No, He's not going to save everybody. He puts in there the requisite for being saved. 10b, God, the living God, is the Savior of all humanity. He is the only one with the authority and power to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ. However, by His authority, He has set the standard for salvation. What is that standard? Faith in the work of God the Son, Jesus Christ. If we don't have that, we have nothing. That's the prerequisite. The living God will save all humans, all who accept the gift of righteousness given through the work of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Only they will be redeemed. No one else. You must confess Jesus as your Savior, or you're not going anywheres with Him. Verse 11. Now you got to remember, Paul is getting Timothy ready to be the pastor in this church at Ephesus. He's giving him all of these insights and training. And so verse 11, he says, and this is like in the form of a command, "These things command and teach." What things? These things. What's in the Word? That's what you're going to command and teach. Command faith in Christ's work, His work on the cross. That has got to be done. Command faith in Christ's work. And His work alone. There's nothing you can add to it or take away from it. No other person, no other thing, nothing. Just Him and what He did. Then follow that by teaching godliness. Have faith, command faith, teach godliness. Do you know what godliness is now?
Being like Jesus.
Walking in the Spirit, following the Spirit to become like Christ. It's a process. These things are salvation by grace and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Preach and teach those things. That's what it's going to take. They have been accomplished by God and written down by the Holy Spirit. Teach only what the Holy Spirit has written. God's Word. If you get confused and you're not sure what to teach, go back to God's Word. Verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth." Timothy was a young guy. "But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Paul is telling Timothy to be a living example of godliness in love, spirit, faith, and purity. Be like Christ. Basically is what he's saying. He's to do this no matter what. No matter what the older men of the church want to tell him to do. Stick with God's Word. Don't be misled. Do it no matter what. Even in the face of spite and criticism by those who think themselves more mature and deserving of a leadership role. Some of those men had been there from the beginning of the church. They probably were thinking, you know, hey, if they're going to make somebody a preacher, it ought to be me. I ought to be the leader here. I'm all along here, you know. No, God brought Paul with his godly wisdom to make that decision. And he brought a protege with him to take that position. And we're going to find out that Timothy wasn't a new guy to this. He's been experiencing walking in the Spirit his whole life, since being a youngster. Be a living example of godliness to these people and don't let them bully you in anything else. Verse 13. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Here are the topics that you're going to speak on. Read the Scripture, exhort the people to follow it, and teach the doctrine that is in the Scripture. Paul tells Timothy what the focus of his teaching should be. He is to use the expository method of reading and revealing God's truth from each passage of Scripture. He is to exhort, strongly call. That's what that means. Strongly call them to follow it. Those under his teaching to live the truth of the doctrine. What is doctrine? It's Scripture truth. It's what we base our faith on. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, shedding His blood, giving His body for our sins. 3 days later, He rose from the grave for our salvation, showing that He was the Son of God, just like He said He was. And He ascended into heaven. Could He have ascended into heaven had He not been honest, truthful, and the real person He said He was? No. He wouldn't have gone. All that proved that's who is. That's doctrine. That's what we base our faith on. The Scripture truth. And Timothy will systematically reveal to them the truth by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what expository preaching and teaching is. You're revealing the truth of that Scripture. Verse 14. All the way down through 16. The Holy Spirit writes through Paul, and Paul gives this direction. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Timothy's gifts of leadership and preaching had been prophesied early in his life. They'd been confirmed and he'd been ordained, most likely by several of the apostles, including the Apostle Paul. Paul probably did not see Timothy again before his death in Rome. He is giving Timothy his lifetime marching orders in the Lord. According to extra-biblical sources, Timothy followed Paul's orders and served the Lord in Ephesus until he was martyred there for his faith. The doctrine of Timothy was no doubt the same as Paul's, as he was his protege. Jesus Christ crucified, taking away our sin, and risen from the dead, justifying our salvation. There's a lot in that half of that chapter. And I would encourage you just to go back and think about it. Read it slowly, think about it, and see what the Holy Spirit says to you. I don't think you can go wrong by doing that. Any questions or comments? You might have some after you think about it again. All right, let's go to the Lord and thank Him for what we've learned. Father, we're so thankful that You not only gave us Your Word, but You gave us the Holy Spirit to help us understand it and to speak it so that we could walk in the Spirit and be more like Christ. That is our goal, Lord, to be more like You. We want to show Your love and Your care for others. We want to tell them about You. We want them to know You. Lord, help us every day that we're up and moving around to show Your love to those we know and to those we don't know who we meet in the way. Help us to be what You would have been to them as far as showing them the kindness, the love, the joy, all of the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, thank You for sharing with us. Be with us now as we go, Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit and keep You ever on our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.